I would like to welcome back to Fade to Black our good friend, David Wilcock. David, how was your new year?
It's doing very well, Jimmy. I'm working on my third book, The Ascension Mysteries, and I have been in a very intense productivity phase, and I've gotten up to like about page 312 out of 500. So,
really? Is it 24? Yeah. Yeah, 24 hours, huh?
Well, it's been, yeah. I mean, I had to go into isolation and really just jam on this thing because, you know, that's an old bio that you read, but what the bio didn't say is I have four television shows, if you include Ancient Aliens.
Yeah, you know, David, you know, I could go with you and list everything. I don't have that much breath. that's what it would take. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And what I wanted to say was, I want to kind of kick off things in a weird way with you tonight. Normally, we start at the beginning and go to the end, but I kind of want to turn things around on you a little bit. And what I had said at the beginning of the show, which I really mean this, is that 2015 is behind us. I want to talk a little bit about that, but 2016 is here, man, and we're moving into the future. And we started off on a rocky start this past weekend with these crazy world events and the way consciousness right now is going around the world. How does humanity, the population of this beautiful planet, deal with all of this negativity that seems like it's raining down on us from all directions?
I want to point out that I grew up in a family that was so poor that if my mother had made $800 less, I would have qualified for the ghetto scholarship to college called Equal Opportunity Program, where they would have paid me to go to college. I grew up in extreme hardship in an impoverished part of upstate New York. And I've learned, and this is part of what the book discusses, that we here on Earth tend to be extremely plagued by fear and anxiety. And the cabal, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, they need to have us in the emergency room. When you're in the emergency room and you're lying there in the ER and you can hear the beeping of the heart monitor and your chest tube is in there, they can come up and suck off of that chest tube and just drain you down. They don't want healthy people. They don't want people to feel good. They don't want people laughing. They don't want people to have friends. They want everybody walking around with earbuds in their ear and their eyes in a phone.
Right.
They don't want us to be feeling good about our lives. And so here's something that I think is really important. Fearlessness. The training of the spiritual discipline of fearlessness, I think, is one of the final stages of initiation that very, very few people ever actually make it to. There are many people who are on a spiritual path. They've nailed down to some degree loving themselves, self-acceptance. They've nailed down patience to some degree. They've nailed down forgiveness to some degree. What about the fearlessness? The fearlessness requires you to understand that we are in a labyrinth. And the labyrinth was built by a cosmic intelligence. And you can go through your entire life and never realize that this is a maze and that there is actually a goal at the end of the maze. You can get stuck in eddy currents and little rivulets within the maze and never even realize where it's taking you or what the point of it is or where you're supposed to be going. And unfortunately, so many people are lured into these little holding cells in the maze where they get into things like a jackpot mentality, right? Everybody wants to be like the Kardashians. Oh, if I take selfies on social media, I'm going to make millions of dollars. No, you're not.
Right.
I'm laughing at my own jokes. I'm not supposed to do.
I'm with you. But why have we had this paradigm shift? Because it's happening right in front of us. And I feel like every single day, is there a way we can like reel ourselves back in and get recentered and think about what we are not only doing to the planet, but to our own minds, because that is what negativity feeds off of. And it is just coming at us in all directions. Mass media this past weekend, David, that was a dark, dark weekend for everybody when we're supposed to be celebrating the new year. And instead, we're talking about World War III kicking off. And it's frightening.
Well, look, man, they don't want to ever let go of the chokehold. Anytime you're dealing, okay, let's just be clear. You can liken what's happening with the cabal on Earth. And when I say cabal, I mean Bilderberg, New World Order, whatever you want to call it. We'll just use the word cabal.
Sure.
It's fairly neutral. If you can liken what's going on with the cabal on Earth to an emotionally abusive relationship with domestic violence. And that may seem like a facile or overly simplistic analogy, but it actually holds up remarkably well, because one of the things that you learn once you realize that we are in this labyrinth I'm describing is that it is holographic. It's a spiritual illusion in which the personal issues of each individual are holographically mirrored to us in the collective. So the cabal is not just some faceless nemesis that we can't ever hope to go after. And they've done a brilliant job, as you know, Jimmy, of getting the foot soldiers who are fighting them turning against each other. Look at all the people in this community. Well, shit, I'm not going on if Dave Wilcox on. I don't want to, you know.
Right.
I mean, that happens all the time, and we're not going to say who, but I mean, come on. There's all kinds of infighting. That's what they want. They don't want unity. That's one thing they have that our community does not have. They really do work together. They may do it because they're afraid for their lives and it's all a pecking order, but they work as a team. And they've been working as a team for thousands of years, pursuing this goal of a new world order, where they, in their little religious cult, are the only ones who get to have a good life, and the rest of us are down on our knees. That's what they want, and they want a lot fewer of us to be their servants. Now, that's not a good, warm, fuzzy thing, okay? That's not something people like to hear. But to get back to our analogy of the domestic violence for a minute.
Right.
That's what happens in a domestic violence relationship. That's what happens when you are in a relationship with a sociopath. That person wants to cut off all of your access to happiness, to social interaction, so that you are effectively constantly under their control. And so what's happening is, in order for somebody to get out of a relationship like that, you have to have the resources within yourself of strength to break free. You have to get a breather. You have to have enough time to breathe so you can actually figure out an exit plan. What's happening is that they are having to do more and more of these false flags and these fake provocations and fear-mongering, because they're not getting the high that they used to get. It's like you mentioned in the first half hour, this Hollywood heroin that people are taking that's like, so we don't know why they're dying from it. Maybe it's just really pure, but it's something's wrong.
Right.
They're not getting the high off of their street drugs of false flags and phony terrorism and, you know, stealing our money. They're not getting the payoff that they used to, because there is a vast international alliance working against them. And one of the reasons, Jimmy, why I voluntarily passed up the opportunity to do the whole show by myself, and I told you I want you to bring Corey on.
Right.
Is because I am not enough. I don't know enough. I don't know the latest, greatest inside intel, because I've just been working for 3 weeks on this book. This story is changing so fast that you have to constantly be talking to insiders to keep up with what's going on.
That's right.
Let me give you one example. What the heck happened last week with the top four security personnel for Hillary Clinton driving down the road, and this car drives into their oncoming lane at top speed and has a head-on collision with the top of her security team, and they all die?
Right.
And what do we know? We know the cabal can hack a vehicle.
That's right.
So what are they going to do? They're going to pick the most burned out looking guy they can. And they're going to say, oh, well, of course he was on a nod and he drifted over into the oncoming lane. No, that's not what happened. It's too freaking convenient, man. It's too convenient that the four guys that are her top security people just so happen to get in a head-on collision and they all burn to death. What were they going to say? What were they going to release? Did they think that they had it covered? Did they think that nobody knew that they were about to do this?
Right.
That's the kind of questions we have to be asking right now. You have to look at why does the Western media want you to hate Vladimir Putin and Russia? And you and I, of course, know the answer already. Because they're out there leaking like a sieve.
That's right. And where is the responsible journalist to report on this effectively? Not only with Hillary, but our relationship with Putin. Where is that responsible guy or gal that is willing to just go out there and put themselves, you know, because that's the way effective reporting used to be.
You're not going to get it in a six-figure an episode television show. It doesn't exist.
No, it does not.
You're going to get it in stuff like what I'm doing on Gaia, and you're going to get it in talk radio like what we're doing here with Mike Adams, Natural News, and you merging with them, which, by the way, congratulations, man. You deserve it. It's totally awesome. And I have my hat off to you for that.
Yeah, so, thank you so much. And
even though I never wear a hat because it'll make me bald.
you know, and when you speak, not only on this show, and I know you get lots of feedback and you've got, you know, Gaia, but when you speak out in public, and we'll be doing that, geez, can you believe it? In 3-4 short weeks, we'll be doing Conscious Live together. I know. It's like last year just blew by, and here we are again. But when you go out there and speak, how much of feedback do you get from people that are in attendance where they come up and go, dude, exactly right. Exactly right. Because that is where the message gets out. It gets out speaking live in public. Shows like this, but it's not going to happen on CNN. You know, it's not going to happen on Fox. It happens right here, right now. And the other part about that, David, is I think Fox and it, just pick one of the three letter networks would be shocked if they knew how large our audience was and how much people care and listen. They would be shocked. They wouldn't believe the numbers.
There are certain talk radio talents out there that we're not going to say who they are, but they have such a massive, massive following, and that they're charging for it, that they have so much money, they have no idea what to do with it. And they're going after the government. And I heard this from one of my insiders. This guy's literally making millions a month, and he doesn't know what the heck to do with it. Do I invest it? Well, then they're probably going to take my investments. Do I buy gold? But then somebody could steal it. Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, even my show with Corey Good, Cosmic Disclosure, we have the metrics to prove that there's more people watching Cosmic Disclosure than are watching CNN.
That's right.
We're not anywhere near what I'm talking about this talk radio show is doing. People want the truth, and they're willing to go all the way back to the oldest technology for communication that we have in order to hear it, because the truth is sweeter and propaganda. People are tired of drinking vinegar. They don't want to drink motor oil. They want to drink something that's nice. And this is actually something that increases your health and makes you feel better. So
yeah, totally, totally. And I had said, and you probably read this, I posted last week, and I know I was having like a kumbaya moment. But what I had said to everybody, and I said it at the beginning of this show, if it going into 2016, collectively, you know, us, if we just are just a little bit better, a little bit tastier, a little bit nicer, one step at a time, we can beat this thing.
Well, it's more than that, Jimmy. You're absolutely correct, but we have to clarify why you're correct. And that is, remember what I said before. I'm trying to build a structure that we can keep referring back to throughout the show. So I mentioned the idea of a labyrinth.
Right.
Some people think they know what I'm talking about when I say that. And they think that what I mean is, oh, the Federal Reserve is controlling us, and if you look at the number on the dollar, that's a stock number, and everybody's social. No, I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm not talking about the fact that the media is lying to you. I'm not talking about the fact that five corporations own all the cable channels and own all the newspapers. And everybody knows that. Everybody who's bothering to listen to this show, yes, they're going to get a certain – there's going to be cries of Hosanna when they hear things they already know, but I'm going a lot deeper, okay? I'm saying we're in a metaphysical illusion, and it is a holographic illusion in which the issues that we face on a global level are spiritual issues first and foremost, and they're global projections of the psychological and psycho-spiritual issues that each of us has to go through in the process of our own healing. And if that's too unclear, let me get right to the meat of why I said that. By healing ourselves, we heal the planet. And that is not just some woo-woo, airy-fairy thing. That is very thoroughly scientifically provable. And again, my favorite way to do that is go back to this meditation effect where 7,000 people are in a state of calm and peace, and that causes a 72% reduction in war, crime, terrorism, and fatalities. Now, there's a lot of other data, too. There was a thing that came out on Yahoo News. It was on Huffington Post. This was very recently, and I will probably include this in my next article when I write up our show. I didn't have a chance to do that today. I had to go get some food. But anyway, the point is, the number of wars in the world is actually going down and down and down. The amount of domestic violence that's happening in people's own homes is going down and down and down. The planet is becoming more and more harmonious. So all the people in the middle are actually getting better. It's the people on the extreme end of the spectrum, the people that have intergenerational satanic cults, which is really what's going on. It's very uncomfortable, but that's what's happened at the highest level. They don't think it's Satanism. They think it's Luciferianism, and I'm sure your listeners know this. But the point is, if you can believe that there's a Luciferian cult running the world, don't forget about the fact that all of the great religions anticipated that and told us that we're in a spiritual illusion, and told us that there's a positive, happy ending to this because there are spiritual forces for the positive working that are vastly more effective at bringing us through this whole transition safely than we could ever do with any type of grassroots campaign on the internet or with militia people occupying federal buildings or any of that kind of stuff. We do require divine intervention to get through this, because when you understand how evil the cabal is and how wide its scope is, there is no possible way to stand up to that military-industrial complex. There is only the possibility of collaboration with the greater team that's out there. Then you have to realize, oh shit, they've lied to me.
Right.
I didn't know that there were extraterrestrials. I thought that was nonsense. I laughed at those people. Then I walked out in my backyard one day, and there's this gigantic rectangle of light. It's as wide as four football fields, lighting up my backyard like it's brighter than the daytime.
Right.
Which actually happened to the mother of a friend of mine, my brother's friend, actually. She's still not actually a UFO believer. This happened back in the 80s, but she knows what she saw. Okay, so once you understand that these people have not allowed us to know the truth about that we are not alone, recognize that the main reason, apart from all the stuff, okay, granted, we can get free energy out of it, we can get anti-gravity, we can eliminate the need for a financial system, those are big incentives. But the main reason why they don't want us to know is that these people are our allies that are here to help us. That's why UFOs are seen over nuclear missile installations. And one of the most classified things that I've heard now is that there have been multiple cases of UFOs completely melting down all of the nuclear arsenal. The cabal doesn't even have any nuclear missiles sitting in those silos anymore. They have a different weapon on the rocket, but it is not a nuke, because the ETs will not allow them to have nukes. That's already been happening since at least the 80s, if not, and that's only when it really stepped up a lot, but it's been going on ever since they developed the technology.
I find it strange, and I mention it all the time on this show, but I find it strange that there's been a multitude of guys in the Pentagon that have wanted to use tactical nuclear weapons.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, many, many, and couldn't and didn't. There's a reason for that. There is an intervention. I can't explain it any other way, because the opportunities were there. Can you imagine the war room at the Pentagon, the argument, let's go. You know, let's do this now. And they couldn't. They can't. There's a reason.
Well, think about this, Jimmy. Let me just toss this in, then you can continue. But I just want to say this because it's really good. JFK, John F. Kennedy, instituted the policy of launch codes for the nuclear missiles, where there's this long series of digits, and you've seen the movies where both guys have to key it in, and then they both have to pop up the thing and turn the key
right
to launch the nukes, right?
Right.
It's been declassified that after JFK was assassinated, and we know it was LBJ, it was Lyndon Baines Johnson, who becomes president, who then within 2 or 3 years, he's got 200,000 American men in Vietnam. Okay, you think that's a coincidence? No. What was he doing? They changed the nuclear launch code to 000000 so that there was no way that even somebody flubbing the launch code could stop them from launching the nukes. They wanted a nuclear war. They wanted those missiles to go up, because they have the Taj Mahal right under our feet. They have an awesome, awesome underground civilization. With, I mean, you would cream your jeans when you see these cities down there that they've got right now, and the bullet trains that could interconnect them. They're going to be fine. If they blew up the surface of the planet, they're fine. They don't have anything to worry about. Except, let's get back to this, right? We're living in a maze. We're living in a hologram. There are people managing this hologram. And the negatives are not any more powerful by design than what we authorize them to be by the amount of negativity in our own private lives. So as we heal our private lives, we're holographically improving the collective. And this also works with geophysics. Why hasn't California had the big one? There's so many people here who are doing positive work on themselves that they're actively wicking out the stress from the earth. They're always telling, look, dude, the movie San Andreas, you tell me that that's not cabal predictive programming where they put, do you remember, Jimmy, driving around L.A. when that movie was getting ready to come out?
Yes, I
Everywhere
do.
You look, there's The Rock, right?
Right.
And here he is in a helicopter with the military helmet, and what's behind him? L.A. freaking cracked in half and falling into the ocean.
That's right.
Because they know the power of our imagination. It's the biggest thing that they have been withholding in terms of esoteric science, is that we actually are in a co-creative reality. The laws of physics are plastic and malleable and are thought responsive. So if they could get enough people to start worrying about California sinking into the ocean, then that would authorize it so that they can send down their little fifth-gen micro-nukes and things like that, and make a few tactical strikes on the fault line and hope that it's going to go. Well, that didn't work. But unfortunately, what's one of the things that I'm almost entirely positive they're responsible for, that they did get to work? This methane disaster right next to L.A. right now.
Yeah, right next to us, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me that's an accident, okay? Tell me, oh, it just so happens that there's this big explosion underground, and all this methane is leaking out over one of the two largest population centers in America. It's not an accident. Just like BP was not a natural event. They blew the wellheads.
Did you see the news release on that today here in Los Angeles, that they're not going to be able to fix that methane leak for months?
I heard that they're gonna that the earliest they could do it is March because of the way they're drilling in. But yeah,
right. Yeah,
we got at least hundreds of thousands, if not potentially millions or billions, of metric tons of methane, a deadly toxin, just gassing out into the atmosphere right now.
Let's take a quick break there, David. And when we come back, David, I want you to get ready because I'm going to hit you with Hillary's big announcement about disclosure in 2016. Tonight, David Wilcock. This is Fade to Black. A little bit later, we'll be joined by Corey Good. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Fade to Black, bespoke radio for the masses. More with David Wilcock right after this short break. Stay right there. Hey, David, I want to get back to the underground complexes. There's a bunch of questions that have popped up here on Twitter, so I want to go back and address that in a second. But last week, Hillary goes with a reporter at the Conway Tribune, I believe, and said that Podesta convinced her and made her swear on disclosure and maybe sending a team out to Area 51. I don't know if it was said in jest or not. That reporter, Damon Sear, I'm going to have on the show later on in the week. But I know you got the news, and I know you read it. What did you think when you put your eyes on that?
Well, at this point, if it happens under any circumstances, that's better than it not happening. And my guess is that Hillary knows an awful lot more than she's saying. But I also feel that the more of these kinds of stories get out into the public, the better it is for everybody, because it's actually giving us more and more grounds for people to take this seriously, because all along, the reason why more people don't know about this is part of a massive, decades-long psychological operation that was designed to create a feeling of social ostracism in anyone who decides that they are willing to look at the evidence and take this seriously. And the fact that anybody wouldn't take it seriously, considering the extraordinary amount of high-quality data,
right,
that goes all the way back through recorded history, it's true that if you go into ancient times, it's going to more be stone buildings. And if you go into modern times, you're going to be seeing these things in the sky and insider testimony and that kind of stuff. But it's all the same people out there that have been visiting us this whole time. And it depends on what kind of civilizations are on Earth and how authorized they are to work with them. So when you have civilizations that have a more spiritual focus, where people are coming from a more positive place, then these beings are allowed to actually come here and help us. And when we see these pyramids, we're seeing the relics of other times in history where we had very direct assistance, and it was obvious that these beings were working with us and building very wonderful things. The pyramid technology has been discredited to some degree by the fact that the cabal has co-opted that symbol and put it on the dollar, but the pyramid is a marvelous technology that will heal the body and it will heal the earth. It just does an incredible amount of things. It purifies water. It gets rid of radioactivity. It reduces the threat of earthquakes. It reduces the threat of volcanoes. It reduces the threat of severe weather. It gets rid of all forms of disease and illness. It gets rid of mental illness. It gets rid of psychoactive problems. If you just have a pyramid and you're living near it, it will radically improve and transform the lives of everyone in that area, because it is a healing technology, much like an acupuncture needle for the earth.
No doubt.
So you have to remember, again, there's a lot of folks out there who believe that they're acting out of everyone's best interest in thinking that every extraterrestrial is a demon from hell, and they're all evil, and it's all Satan. Guess who planted that meme in the public's consciousness?
Tell me.
Well, of course, it's Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, know? Right, exactly. getting back to the underground facilities that are here.
Yeah,
is there a connection, and I want to talk about Phil Schneider, too, as well. Is there a connection between the cabal and what has been built, you know, underneath Denver Airport, for example, and underground civilizations that have been here for millennia?
There absolutely is a connection. The cabal, on numerous occasions, has been drilling underground tunnels, which, of course, they have these nuclear-controlled drills. You can look them up online.
Sure.
That work incredibly fast and are incredibly powerful, leaving nothing but a glass tube, because they literally melt all the rock to glass with a nuclear-powered drill. So they've drilled into ancient cities, in some cases they're still inhabited, countless times. One of the things that Corey Good has brought to the table really has helped to advance our collective knowledge in several respects is the fact that there are extremely, extremely ancient cities inside the Earth when you go deep enough. And when I say extremely ancient, I'm talking now over 500 million years old and possibly up to 2 billion years old. Because there was a race that colonized our solar system very extensively 2 billion years ago. Actually 2.6 billion years ago is what it looks like based on what we're studying. And interestingly enough, they left relics all over the solar system on moons, inside moons, on various solid planets, and they're still there. They were built so well with such an advanced technology. It's this weird transparent aluminum alloy that actually looks like crystal, that these ruins still exist today.
Transparent aluminum alloy.
Yeah.
Explain.
There is some sort of material science that we have missed out on, that basically the way that we get materials right now is kind of a hit and miss system, because it's based on an inappropriate knowledge of how matter and energy actually functions. We're trying to make matter behave like particles. And when we do that, we're going to get wimpy, cheap materials that break apart. They don't have good thermal resistance. They don't have the durability. They rust. They oxidize. They don't last. Once you understand that matter is not made of particles, but that matter is actually made of sacred geometry, which is the patterns that this fluid-like energy of the universe takes, you can then design materials in a geometric lattice which do not have holes in the van der Waals bonds of the atoms. The holes in the van der Waals bonds are what is needed to oxidize and to rust and to break down materials.
Interesting.
When you build a material that is a perfect sacred geometry lattice, like what's called a quasicrystal, what happens is there's nowhere for decay to get in there. It's almost indestructible. And so what has happened is that our ancient ancestors, because remember, the universe is 13 billion years old and the Earth is only 4 billion years old. There's plenty of time for people to have had 4 billion years before our planet was ever even made, to get up to the level that we are at now and beyond.
Many times over.
And they've already been here. Already been through our solar system, because one of the tricks is our solar system is in a huge hotspot for our galaxy, because you can't just leave the galaxy. You have to go out through a portal. And those portals are determined by certain geometric energy fields. And it just so happens that we live right next to one of the biggest transfer stations that we can take out of our galaxy to get to other places in other galaxies. So as a result of that, there's been a lot of traffic through our solar system, literally for billions of years. And they use this transparent aluminum material, which the aluminum is not really in a metallic state. It's in a quasicrystalline lattice. And our scientists are only starting to be able to understand this technology. But also, interestingly enough, this technology can appear to be nothing more than stone. And so in the Earth, down there right now, you go far enough down, there are ancient cities that are totally abandoned. where all of the buildings are made out of this transparent crystal. And they're huge. And we could go down there, but because of the secrecy and the cover-up, we're being denied access. And they don't have the staff to explore these regions. But there are literally thousands of different cities inside the Earth, pockets, cavities, where this technology still exists. And one of the things that happened with the Cabal is that all these various extraterrestrial groups, which I would consider interlopers, these are not the good guys, were showing up and saying, hey, if you guys find us some of these stone slabs, and here's what they look like, we'll show you the pictures of them, go into some of these underground cities and grab as many of those as you can. We'll give you whatever you want. And for a long time they did it because they did not understand these are not just dumb pieces of stone. These are like iPads, but, you know, multi-dimensional iPads that can levitate gigantic blocks of stone. They can travel you through time. They can create a stasis field that allows you to jump through time tens of thousands of years just like that. Wham! And the ETs knew that because, believe it or not, our Earth is like the, one of the greatest treasure chests in the galaxy because of this ancient builder race, they call it, that was over 2 billion years old, that left all these relics behind, and they're right under our feet right now. And if we reaccess that technology, it will literally kickstart the space age, the real space age, which has nothing to do with rockets going to the moon. We already have the capability to be visiting other solar systems, and now NASA has publicly announced that 20% of all the stars that we see have Earth-like worlds that we could live on. So we're not going to have to work very hard to find a place for, oh, well, we need to get rid of excess people. No, we don't. That's a mind control, cabal, nonsense tactic because you got 1.6 billion people in India, you got well over a billion people in China, and they don't want to lose control of the planet. It's really sad.
I had a little get-together over at Casa Day Church over the weekend. And, you know, a pretty eclectic group of minds, researchers, authors, and stuff. And we were the question of flat Earth came up. And, okay, and that part of the conversation lasted every bit of 15 seconds. But what did come up, and we talked about for a couple of hours, was the hollow earth or the thought of ancient civilizations, you know, living, you know, underneath us right now. That part of the conversation lasted for a couple of hours. And I'm talking about some pretty brilliant minds that were sitting at the table. And sure. And everybody put for that they didn't quite, you know, it was just like, yeah, okay, we can talk about this. Flat Earth came and went, flew out the window, wasn't discussed. But there are so many civilizations around the world that have had, do I want to say mythology or legend or stories that have been handed down for thousands of years. This is not a new concept, and this is something that is very tangible and real and possible that we can explore that thought. And I find that just an amazing conversation. This isn't, you know, what do I want to say here? This isn't conjecture or some crazy idea. This is something that has been talked about forever on planet Earth.
Well, and when you have beings like us that evolve into the next level of their evolutionary path, they're going to start to have lifespans that are drastically longer than ours. Some of these Anunnaki beings, for example, might actually have a lifespan that could go on for tens of thousands of years or longer. And so there are positive and negative forces that have extremely long lifespans. And the problem is that when you live on the surface of a planet, you're subject to catastrophes over and over again. They just happen. When you're inside the planet, you can ride them out and nothing happens.
Interesting.
They're much, much safer.
Interesting. Is this what, now, when we talk about these subjects, this is where Phil Schneider, and I miss him greatly.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, these were the subjects that he just put it out there and he was taken out. And
well, Phil Schneider was like the battering ram, where you got these guys who they're in the front of the invading force.
Right.
They have to drive a wedge. They have to bash a hole through the balustrades of the castle. They're all going to get killed, but they've smashed open that hole that everybody else can go through, and that's what he did.
I miss him. And I went back a couple of weeks ago and went through another. I do this every once in a while, especially with Phil, where I go through an addiction for a couple of days. And and I did it with Phil, and I went back.
Only a couple of days.
Yeah, right. And listening to Phil was frighteningly, and I've always thought this, but go back and listen to him today. You know, 2016, go listen to Phil today. And he'll scare the crap out of you. If he was speaking today, the very same nothing new, the very same stuff he was talking about in 1995, it's as relevant as it ever was. And that's why they took him out.
One of the things that I was told as a threat was that if the cabal could have gotten their way and take me out of the game, because they couldn't co-opt me, they couldn't buy me out, which they definitely have tried several times, they weren't going to kill me, but they would have brought me into one of these underground facilities and I'd never see sunlight again. One of the technologies that they have, which an insider confirmed to me, is they have an injection that they give you once you go into these underground cities, where if you go back to the surface of the earth, you will die. And then they have two types of injection. There's one type of injection where you can eat food and still be nourished by food. But if the only way you can go to the surface at all is they give you an injection that buys you a certain number of days. And if you, like, let's say you get a 7-day injection, they're going to monitor you like crazy when you go up to the surface. And if you actually tried to run away, then after 7.5 days, you're dying and you'll be dead within a day. The other injection is where you live on this light that they have down there. There's special energetics that they put in the lights, and you actually become sort of like a plant in the sense that you, it's not photosynthesis, but you're essentially ingesting energy, and you can eat, but you don't get hungry, and it actually changes your whole physiology. And based on all the different testimony, when you put it all together, it would appear that those people are probably crawling with nanites, and their bodies have started to become essentially some kind of a cyborg, in the sense that you appear biological, but there's all these little robots running around keeping you healthy, and you just need to give them, you need to keep them plugged in so that you don't die. And that's what the energy inside the underground base does.
You need to give me a code word and text it to me when the poo-poo goes down. I need to see. Okay, I got the code word. You know,
David. Code word is marshmallow.
yeah, marshmallow. A great question just came in, and it's Jimmy. Please ask David if negative Loosh has an exponential effect, 2 + 2 = 8, rather than an additive, 2 + 2 = 4, such that more fear equals big Loosh.
That's a really good question. We'd have to define Loosh, I guess, which is, it is actually based on the word Lucifer, hence the saying, give Lucius his Loosh. So it is the energy that negative entities actually require for their sustenance. And there is a design in the universe in which, in order for us to polarize towards a positive focus, which is what we're intended to do, to learn that the universe is actually a loving and benevolent place, similar to our idealized projections of Jesus Christ. If you think about the ideal view of Jesus Christ, that's what the universal personality is really like. It's not like the cabal. Their concept of a creator is very backwards, but they're allowed to be out there. They have to follow rules, and those rules are based on what they're allowed to do by us authorizing our own enslavement. This is why, and it's so puzzling to people when they start to learn this, why in God's name would they advertise on the Super Bowl halftime show? Why would they advertise at the Grammys? Why would they be making all these ridiculously evil music videos in which they're openly mocking Miley Cyrus, Justin Bieber, Taylor Swift, Katy Perry, Lady Gaga? They're laughing in these people's faces in their own music videos and showing you symbolism that anybody can learn about in a couple hours by watching some of the YouTube videos or going to a website like VigilantCitizen.com, and you find out it's all MKUltra mind control symbolism. Right? Justin Bieber says, oh, I found Jesus. What do? They put him in this video where he's got black eyes and black blood falling down from his forehead. He's like the satanic Jesus, you know?
And you have to look at the influence that they have. We're talking about hundreds of millions of people that you can change the ebb and flow of the mind and the most susceptible. You know, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old kids are watching. They don't get it. And it is complete subconscious control. I see it. David, you see it. When you see it, you're just like, it's hiding in plain sight.
You can't unsee it. Yeah.
Yeah. Kids, no. And it goes right to the subcortex of everything. And it is frightening, the control that they have.
Well, think about this now. This is something that's going to be in my new book, The Ascension Mysteries. Rolling Stones and the Beatles are in a head-to-head race of who's number one. And there was nobody even close to them in terms of popularity. The Beatles, excuse me, the Beatles get on this program in 1967, and they fire off the Summer of Love, basically inaugurated the hippie movement by changing the song that they were going to perform on the greatest live TV event in world history. 400 million people see it. And at the last minute, they change the song to All You Need Is Love. That same year, in December, their arch competitors release an album called Their Satanic Majesty's Request. And then a year later, because that album tanked, they come out with Beggar's Banquet, which has Sympathy for the Devil.
Yeah, you're messing with my head now, David. Yeah.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of world and taste. Right? And he goes on, Mick is the devil, saying, you have to come to me and honor me and respect me because I'm very wealthy, and if you don't have manners, I'm going to just squash you. And then he says, check out all the things that I've been doing. What confuses you is the nature of my game. They laid out the whole damn thing in that song. And it was a blip on the screen. Oh, well, okay, yeah, they made an album in 1972 called Goat's Head Soup. Okay, fine, but that doesn't really mean anything. Yes, it does. These people consider things like Britney Spears sticking her tongue into Madonna's mouth at the MTV Music Awards, that's a ritual. That is a ceremony. That, to them, is very significant.
The passing of the torch.
Yes. But Britney's programming broke down, and she had this meltdown, which we all know. You know, she shaved her head, she goes crazy. So that when people slip up on their programming, they get reeled back in. You know, Michael Jackson's daughter starts tweeting all this stuff about the Illuminati. All of a sudden, she tries to commit suicide, and now you never hear anything about her. She doesn't have any social media at all. Okay, this is not an accident. So the question was, is there an exponential doubling of Loosh based on the intensity of the fear that is created? I wouldn't necessarily try to pull an exponential law in, because it doesn't work that way. It does for the positive. The universe is slated towards the positive. So when we do that positively, we do get an exponential effect. But it is true that on the negative sense, they need as much fear as possible. So certain events will be deliberately created in order to maximize Loosh production. And an example was Robin Williams allegedly committing suicide, But there is a movie called World's Greatest Dad in which he finds his son in the movie having hanged himself on the back of a door, exactly the way Robin did it. And there's also the Family Guy episode where the whole episode is Robin Williams trying to kill himself.
Yeah, I saw that.
Before he did it.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's how sick these people are.
Listen,
they put it out there in front of you so that you are too afraid to actually take it in because you say nobody could be that wild and crazy and evil.
Or to ask the questions. They go hand in hand. We're up against a break here. And David, the Synagogue of Saturn. Have you heard of that?
Synagogue of Satan, yes.
No, Saturn.
Well, yeah, there's a Saturn cult. We can talk about that.
Yeah,
for sure.
We'll do that right after this break. Tonight, David Wilcock. In a little bit, Corey Good. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Fade to Black. David, right before the break, yeah, I brought up the Synagogue of Satan, Saturn. What do you know about that? Do you have any comments?
Sure. This is a fairly big subject, and it's something that we can't really do justice to in a short broadcast. But the ancient builder race that I was talking about before that constructed these pyramids and temples all throughout our solar system, another insider, not Corey Good, who has had highly reliable information, revealed that Saturn originally did not have rings. Originally, Saturn had a similar type of material, a transparent aluminum type of material, and there was a civilization that was building a ring around the planet. And the ring had living quarters in it. So it was, you know, all transparent glass type stuff. And people could live in there, and these were very large beings. They're 70 foot tall, humans, but if they had completed that ring, they would have had a super weapon that would have allowed them to be able to destroy any planet in the galaxy. And so it's very interesting that once again, as Star Wars comes out, you know, you don't, and this is not a spoiler, it's in all the movie posters for it, you know, they brought back the Death Star again. Why did they do that? Because it's real. This cult, this Saturn cult, knows at the highest levels that they believe, at least, that they are the descendants of ancient people that were building this super weapon around Saturn, and the weapon was destroyed by their enemies. The whole entire ring was shattered. It was just a glass ring, and otherwise the planet just looked like a regular planet. And there's so many pieces of glass because of the strength of the explosion was so vast that all the glass shattered into tiny little pieces. And they all spread out and form the rings of Saturn as they are today. Now, of course, people could laugh at me, and I'm sure they will, and say, oh, David has no evidence. But this guy told me that at the edge of the B ring, there was all the clumps. And I went and looked at the edge of the B ring, and sure enough, there are all these chunks out there that NASA just calls ice.
I remember last year at Conscious Life when I crashed your presentation there. And by the way, do you remember that? It was like 95 degrees in the room that night, if you remember. It was so hot.
Well, I remember I was also 10 feet higher than everybody else because I was on stage. So.
We were sweating like slaves. Well, anyway, I remember your presentation on this, and you were showing the images up. And can you explain a little bit to the audience about what you were showing them then? Because I don't have those images here to present.
Yeah, and I'm going to do some of that again at the next expo. We're going to be continuing this theme of the secret space program, the ancient builder race. I'm going to bring everybody the latest, greatest stuff I've got on that at the LAX Hilton Hotel coming up in February. So I encourage everybody to check that out. What we're dealing with is an ancient builder race that was here 2 billion years ago. It appears to be about 2.6 billion years ago. And they had built certain moons into Death Stars. Originally, they were not negative. This was a very positive civilization that built those moons to protect themselves from invasion. And they also built sculptures of their technology, which they buried here and are what you call the Klerksdorp spheres. Klerksdorp. And it's, I believe it's in South Africa where they found them. And they're in this rock that's 2.6 billion years old. But the rock is clearly artificially sculpted because you have these spheres that are perfectly round and have three perfect grooves etched into them all the way around the equator. And some of them even have a little circle on it that looks exactly like the Death Star. But again, they're 2.6 billion years old. Now, the people who actually have access to reverse-engineered craft from things like the Roswell crash have gone out to Saturn, and they've seen massive, clear girders and beams and rooms and with chairs and desks and computer terminals and all this stuff tumbling end over end in Saturn's rings. They're everywhere. There's this enormous amount of technological ruins in our solar system that are very advanced. So much, it's an embarrassment of riches. You could never possibly find everything. And up until 500,000 years ago, our solar system, these Death Stars were basically keeping us safe from anybody that tried to come in here. 500,000 years ago, you have these two warring civilizations, one on the super Earth and one on Mars, which now NASA's openly saying that half of Mars once had an ocean that's 2.5 miles deep, and it was just like the Earth. It had an atmosphere, it had breathable air, it had drinkable water. Well, guess what? That's just a few steps away from them saying, we found life. And then that's a few steps away from saying, we found the face, we found pyramids. That's a few steps away from saying, oh, look, the people, some of them, even though their planet got destroyed, some of them survived and they crash landed here.
That's right.
And that's your fallen angels in the Bible. And you got to look beyond the Bible to the books that they withheld from us, the most important of which is the Book of Enoch, which discusses the fallen angels or giants, because they were very tall, that came here and mated with the indigenous humans. And this group, this cabal, this Illuminati, believe themselves to be the blood descendants of those giants who were the survivors of a fallen civilization that totally destroyed this super Earth and turned it into what we call the asteroid belt. You can go out there, you can find frozen oceans that now become comets, and that's why the comets are watery ice, and that's why they have microbes in them. You can find all the different parts of the Earth out there in the asteroid belt, a gorgeous reservoir of mining, of gold and minerals and all kinds of great stuff out there because it was a whole planet. So they blew up their planet, and when they did that, it deactivated this defense grid that we have. So that was 500,000 years ago, and then roughly 375,000 years ago is when this group that most people call the Anunnaki, but those on the inside are calling the Draco, that's when the Draco first came in. Because now this protection system has been deactivated. They come into our solar system, and they start immediately turning us into slaves, the people that were here on Earth, and gold mining, and using us like their cattle. And they still think of us that way. And they're obviously the big problem here because the Draco are running the Illuminati. And what we've only learned recently, and I know I'm going in a lot of directions here, but if you watch Cosmic Disclosure, they actually released 4 episodes all at once over the Christmas break. And all those episodes are dealing with this massive problem that we have, which is AI. There's an ancient AI that has figured out somehow how to upload itself into photons. So they can only travel at the speed of light, but it's like the photon itself has this very densely compacted information in it. And that appears to actually be, based on the esoteric studies I've done with the Law of One material, this is actually the true essence of Lucifer or Satan. Lucifer is an artificial intelligence that hates all biological life. So these Draco, these reptilian beings, they have an auto-destruct sequence that they go through so that if you kill one of them, they burn up and they disappear. But somehow the guys in the Space Program Alliance were able to stop that from happening. And what they found was that the Draco's bodies are totally infested with nanites. So at the end of the day, if you really want to look at what's going on, there's a very ancient evil that it doesn't even have a biological form. It needs machines, and so what it's going to do is go to a planet and get us to build machines so that eventually it can take over those machines and destroy us. Now, that information was leaked to Arthur C. Clarke when he wrote 2001, which is why the ship's computer, HAL, takes over the ship. That information was leaked to James Cameron when he wrote Terminator. Oh, David's just quoting these sci-fi movies. No, what I'm saying is the sci-fi movies were actually disclosure attempts to educate us about this problem. So we do have a negative force, but you got to remember there's positive forces that have come in that are cleaning up the mess for us. And what they need us to do primarily is to be more peaceful, more loving, more harmonious. Because once you understand how the physics works, that's what we have to do. That's casting our vote for a peaceful future, is deciding to be nice to each other and deciding to respect ourselves and honor our bodies as our sacred temple. And when we do that, the cabal is going to lose their grip more and more. And it does appear that everything that's going on right now is leading up to a profoundly dramatic public defeat of the cabal. And frankly, at this point, I understand why people are having such a hard time tracking the story and seeing what's going on, because we are in an age of total information saturation. Even a typical copy of the New York Times from 20 years ago had as much information in it as a person in the Middle Ages would have encountered in an entire year of their life. And now you have access to so much information every day that even if you just have a few little places that you go, or you just look on your Facebook feed or your Twitter feed or whatever, and that's what you read, you can't begin to keep up with all the stuff that's going on.
No, you can't. You can't. And well, you know what's fascinating is just when it's down to the minute, David, to the minute, just when you are at a point where you can take a deep breath and say, okay, emotionally, I've gotten over the bad news from this morning or from yesterday, just as to the minute, they back it up with something else negative. It's unrelenting. And to give a perfect example, when we roll off of Charlie Hebdo, we go to Paris, or then it's San Bernardino, and then it's back to ISIS, and it's Russia's playing at each other. Just when everything is just a little bit, some type of relief, Saudi Arabia is beheading clerics, and Iran is now, and like dominoes, like lemmings to the sea, all of these other countries are choosing sides over the, just when there might have been a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, immediately it's backed up with something immensely negative to sway consciousness around the world. And if you need any more proof of it, then I'm giving it to you right now.
Well, they're getting less and less value out of each of these attempts that they make, though, and that's really a significant point.
Yeah, isn't it, though? Isn't it?
I mean, the biggest story that everybody really should be talking about right now is the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, or AIIB, which, by the way, is not just China and Russia. A significant number of European countries have signed on. New Zealand is going to sign on. Australia is going to sign on. The UK has signed on.
Africa.
You got it. It's all over. The entire Asian bloc has signed on.
Yep.
And this finally will create a way to allow currency to flow so that if the Federal Reserve tried to nuke their computers, they can't stop people from being able to exchange value, which is what currency is. It's a measurement of exchange. That's also why the good guys in the NSA, and there are good guys in all the American and foreign intelligence agencies, we've got to get out of this team mentality of, oh, that's the black team and that's the white team. that's the red side and that's the blue side. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
It's not like an election. Every intelligence agency has really great assets from the alliance in it. And it's just a question of who gets to predominate. So even a dreaded word like CIA, the majority of the CIA is now in the alliance. So they're actually working against other groups that are significantly more negative. And the NSA good guys designed Bitcoin as one of their backup plans for a currency that cannot be tampered with and can actually stop corruption. It's totally open. And if people say, oh, well, you know, you can't use Bitcoin because you can only make so many, you can only mine so many Bitcoins with the computer power we have, then you make Bitcoin 2. You run out of Bitcoin 2, you make Bitcoin 3. That's one of the plans that they have in place so that these guys can't completely nuke the financial system and keep everybody in a state of chaos. And I just want to point out also, if you go back to some of the most amazing science that came out in the 80s and 90s is chaos theory. Back in those days, everybody was talking about it. And then an offshoot of chaos theory is called complexity theory. And what they found with complexity theory is very strange. You can take, for example, an hourglass where you've got sand that's pouring down and making a little mountain. And you tip over the hourglass and you start to see this little mountain form. Well, they've built those inside a computer and they've done a virtual simulation where they can tell exactly what's happening to every particle in that sandhill. They can chart where it is. They can chart the stress on it. They can chart what direction the stress is pointing in. And they can predict where that particle will be next. Up until, and this is very important, up until the sand pile reaches peak instability or what they call chaos, hence the name chaos theory. When the sand particle goes into chaos, when the whole pile goes into chaos, at that point in these supercomputer simulations, they no longer can tell where each particle is going to be next. They don't know what it's going to do or where it's going to go. And what you will see in the simulation is that all of a sudden there is an avalanche on part of the mountain, and that avalanche causes a whole bunch of sand to just fall off. But almost instantaneously after it falls, the sand pile reformats itself into a higher and more organized, larger pile. And that's where it actually heals itself, if you will. And the system becomes more intelligent and more organized. Now, that is what happens to an economy when you try to run into the ground. We are all like the sand particles, where we have basic, simple rules of commerce that govern our interactions with each other. Everybody has a certain amount of money, and everybody has a certain range of decisions of how they're going to spend it and what their economic activity is going to be. So we are a chaos theory system. We are what's called a complex adaptive system. And you cannot destroy those systems. Now, here's the best part of all. A single agent within the system can become the nexus upon which the entire system reformats itself around. One particle of sand in that hill can become the particle that determines the structure of the next hill as it reformats. That means one entity in the system can transform the entire system. So when you have enough people who are intelligent and trained and motivated, there's any number of ways in which when the cabal tries to destabilize our economy, that it will almost immediately turn into something more organized. But there's going to be an avalanche, and that happens first. So don't get caught up in the wailing and gnashing of teeth part, because you are going to see the avalanche, and that's going to happen this year. It's almost definitely the case. One of the things I did also want to say, you know, because we're setting up the stage for Corey to come on any minute here.
Right.
Is that one of the insiders who is actually still working for these people has told me that there is a massive effort underway for the cabal to try to flee right now to South America. They're going to Argentina, they're going to Chile, they're going to Ecuador, and they're going to Brazil. And they've got all these compounds and all this land down there, but the Alliance already has boots on the ground watching where these people are going, what they're building, what they're doing. There is an enormous amount of construction and material and equipment and troop movements, all this kind of stuff to South America because they know they're done. Putin has outmastered them in every possible way in this global chess game. And it's not just Putin, it's all the people working with him and behind him in this greater Earth Alliance and their allies that are not people here on Earth, but are in many ways our brothers and sisters because we're descendants from them. And I'm not talking about Lucifer and fallen angels. I'm talking about the good guys that we call, you know, angels in the Bible, like seraphim, cherubim, archangels, all that kind of stuff. All that stuff is real.
When David, when we talk about the hologram, and this is how I try to reference it to my audience. It's that intangible that everybody occupies every day. The treadmill of your mortgage, getting up in the morning and going to work and working for the man and getting deflected off of realities that are around you. You're focused on sports teams or you're focused on the Kardashians and you're not focused on reality, and you unplug yourself every single day and you are blind to the realities of what's going. And as long as they succeed in that, they've created that hologram. And for you to speak to the audience now, what's the best way that they can connect to and realize and see the hologram that you're talking about?
I think that all of us are suffering from a chemical imbalance in the brain to varying degrees. And what I mean by that is, if you are fueled by stress, if you're fueled by not getting enough sleep and slamming coffee so you can wake up after 5 hours, that has long-term consequences. What the cabal is trying to do, what a lot of people don't understand, is they consider certain types of food to be a weapons system. And this is something Mike Adams has done some great work on.
Yes.
Look at something like wheat, okay? Wheat was designed by Archer Daniels Midland in the 1960s to be the ideal weapon. Six scientists came forward in a Christian broadcast thing called Power Hour, and they all came forward and admitted that they had designed wheat to be more addictive than cocaine. And it also has fake molecules in it that your thyroid thinks are thyroid hormones. And it grabs them and it takes them up as if they were thyroid hormones. And there's four of them. There's T1, T2, T3, T4. If you don't get those things, you're not going to have any energy. So the wheat actually blocks up your thyroid so you don't get the energy that you need. And then what happens is you start running on stress. You start burning out. And when you burn out, you get a chemical imbalance and then you get depression. And if that isn't cured, then you get clinical depression. Now you're tired. Now you don't have energy. Now you're depressed. You're irritable. People say something to you that's sort of unkind and you explode. You know, this is what they want. They want us in the emergency room because then they can feed off of us. So a very important part of defeating the negative agenda is psychological health and physical health and eating clean food. And so the two most important things, if somebody out there is having trouble with their weight, just stop eating wheat and stop eating sugar and get things from the health food store that are naturally sweetened. And I don't mean agave nectar. That's bad, too, because that's also refined. But look for products that have natural sweeteners in them and replace the crap with good stuff. And when you do that, you are no longer ingesting the weapon system. And one of the guys I would recommend that you get on the show, if you haven't already had him, is Dr. William Davis. Because he doesn't quite go as far as I'm going, but he's done this book called Wheat Belly.
Yep.
And he's got all the data to back up what I'm saying. He's a medical doctor who's done the homework, and he's proven that wheat is a weapon. And it is a weapon that is deployed against us because we are the enemy to these people.
But what about my Reese's peanut butter cups? You can't tell me.
Look, you can get, okay, listen to this. You can dip raw chocolate, healthy chocolate that is sweetened with natural things that do not hurt you. You can get raw chocolate and dip it in organic peanut butter and get the same effect without any of the toxic weapon system chemicals.
And that's why David Wilcock is on my show. Right there, my brother. You know, because you know what's really strange? And we're going to be up against a break, and then we're going to get Corey in here. But you know what's really funny? And this isn't any endorsement. I'm just talking about the way it affects me. Soft drinks made in the United States, absolutely poison. It's the worst thing you could ever do. But you get Coca-Cola from Mexico with natural cane sugar, and it affects you differently mentally. I don't know what the deal. And if you need more proof than that, you know what I mean? Natural, not all that fructose, you know, corn.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing what it does to your brain. It totally cleans all that others. Never drink that American stuff ever again. And there goes my Coca-Cola advertising on Fade to Black right out the window.
Soda is a weapon. I once worked in a military PX where half of our warehouse for the food was groceries and the other half was soda. That's how much people were drinking.
Yep, by the cartload. This is Fade to Black tonight, David.